All right, so let's get started then. We'll start over, well, I'm Nunhei Amr Aleph, so we've gotten started on the discussion about when days of Torah do and don't count for another, but we'll start over from the beginning of that discussion. We didn't get very far into it. 6 lines from the bottom of Nunhei Amr Aleph. The Mishnah said that the Nazir, after he's finished with the days of his Gomroi, the days when he's definitively a Masorah and has to be outside the city, etc., and the Yemei Sfira, the 7 days after he brings the birds and whatnot, those don't count for his Nazirah, and he starts counting over. He's not over. He resumes counting after those. He's frozen at the day when he was declared a Masorah. So Amr Chista, on that, Amr of Chista, so we're just recapping from yesterday. Rav Chista had said, Lo shanu ela b'nazirus mu'etis. This that the Mishnah is talking about, that you're frozen at the day when you were declared cholut, is only if it was a short nazirus. Alva b'nazirus merubu mislach na misalkin lay. But if it's a long nazirus, then those days even count.
What's short about
time? So at this point, well, short nazirus usually means 30 days. Long nazirus generally means anything over 30 days. Right now, the Gemara is assuming, before we get to Rav Shrevia's question, the Gemara seems to be assuming that Nazirus Mu'etis means 30 days and Nazirus Meruba means anything more than 30 days. Well, it's called Mu'etis because that's the minimum length of a Nazirus. So, Masiv Rav Shravia. So Rav Shravia asks on that based on our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Maschel Moina Miyad Vein Mavasa Benet HaKoyed. Then the Nazir can right away start recounting and doesn't lose the days that he counted before, unlike if he had become Tomei Mes. Or not unlike if he had become Tomei with the Tumas Shanozim Galei Achalein that we discussed earlier in the Perek. So we have to ask, Ramai, what case would the Mishnah be talking about? Ilema ben Nazirus Mu'etis, if you're talking about a short Nazirus, 30 days, what do you mean he doesn't lose any, what do you mean he doesn't lose any days that he counted so far? Kapori Gidul Seir, he needs to at least grow his hair long enough to have a valid Teglachas at the end. So effectively, yes, if he ended up shaving for his tzaraas, and remember he shaved twice, once right after the Kohen does the two birds and the water and stuff, and another time 1 week later. If it was a Nazirus of only 30 days, and the second of those, let's say, happens, I don't know, on the 23rd day of his Nazirus, of necessity, he has 7 days left of his original time, but of necessity, he's going to have to make up 23 days anyway. He's not just going to have to make up the time of Yemei Chaluta and Yemei Sfira, he's going to have to make up the all time back to the beginning, effectively, because he has to have a long enough growth of hair at the end. Ella lav v'nazirus merubas. L'chora, the Mishnah must be talking about a long nazirus. V'katani maschal amonim yad. And yet the Mishnah says that you begin counting right away, implying that you're frozen on the day that you were declared a matzora vaday, a matzora mochlot. You're frozen on that day, and only after you finish with the days of tzaraas and the 7 days of counting, only then can you resume counting, which goes against what Rav Chista is saying.
As opposed to what was Rav Chista saying?
Rav Chista is saying like this. Let's say you have 100 day nazirus.
Right.
you became a mitzvah, let's say, 20 days into it. So Rav Chista is telling you that because it's a nazirus merubah, because it's longer than 30 days, no. Then, or let's say not 100 days. Let's say, for example, it's a 40-day nazirus. Let's say it's a 40-day nazirus. Let's say 100 day nazirus, yeah, because that'll be the example that the site's supposed to use. So 100 day nazirus, let's say, 20 days into it, he becomes a mitzvah, let's say. He becomes a mitzvah, let's say he's a mitzvah for 10 days, at the time he's outside the city, etc. Then the Kohen calls for the Kohen does the birds and the water and the ezer, that whole procedure, and he starts counting 7 days from that. So you have 17 days, which, what Rav Chista seems to be saying, those 17 days all count towards the nazirus. He's now up to day 37. He takes his first haircut then on day 30, which is, again, he was 20 days in Nazir and 10 days in Masorah. But now, on day 30, he's getting his haircut the first time. He's still at 30 now. Now he starts counting from there 7 days for until he can do his second haircut as a Masorah. That brings him to day 37. And he's still got plenty of time left. That's what Rav Chista seems to be saying. But Rav Shrevia is asking, that's fine. Fine, we could argue, and that's what the Gemara is going to answer, that if it was 100-day Nazirus, yes, that'll work out, because you do have more than 30 days. But on the face of it, when the Mishnah obviously can't be talking about Nezirus Mu'etis, because necessarily you're not going to have 30 days left at the end. You're going to have to make up days. So the Mishnah doesn't seem to be distinguishing between Nezirus Mu'etis and Merubah. Either way, the Mishnah seems to be implying that in this scenario, you're frozen at day 20. The 10 days that you were in Matsurda and the 7 days that you counted after that between the haircut don't count. And therefore, now you have another 80 days of Nezirus to make up. Not 63, which is what Rav Chisda would seem to be saying. Not a machlokes, but the Rav Shregri is asking.
17 days count or don't?
Or don't count, right.
Yeah.
Questions from Mishnah, don't include. Yeah. Okay, Rav Shregri asked the question. He also answered it. The Nezirus, Pascha Mishnah, yeah. Yes, but the Mishnah could be talking about, for example, a Nezirus of 50 days. The Yosef Eskin, so suppose that he had been a regular Nazir doing the dinim of Nazirus for 20 days, then he became a Mitzvah. But Galayach Tzaraf, he behaved Yosef plus in Yom of the Nazir. Then at that point he'll then shave for his Tzaraf, and then he'll have to sit for another 30 days of Nazirus because that'll be long enough for Gidul Seir. The meaning, in other words, in a scenario like that, in other words, that when the Mishnah is saying that he's frozen at a certain day, the Mishnah doesn't, what it means is, Rav Shrevia is saying, that what we do is we subtract 30 days from the total length of his Nezirus. If the day that he became a Mitzurah is within that period, then yes, he's going to lose days because he needs 30 days growth of hair. But if not, then he doesn't lose. Then we can still say the Mishnah is not contradicting Rav Chisda. He won't have to lose anything.
Yes,
so it became a Mitzvah on day 20, let's say, out of a 50-day Nezirus. So he became a Mitzvah on day 20 of a 50-day Nezirus. Yes, that's what the Mishnah is saying. He's going to have to be frozen at day 20, because otherwise, if you allow him any of the days of his Chalutah, any of the days when he's a Mitzvah, or any of the days of his Sfirah, there's not going to be left 30 days of growth of hair. Mashenkin, let's say, again, he was a Mitzvah for 10 days, and then there's 7 days between the haircuts. Let's say instead of declaring to begin with, let's say instead of becoming a Mitzvah, or instead of becoming a Nazir for 50 days, let's say he declared Nazirus for 67 days, then he's good. Because then, when you get to the end of it, when you get to the end of his counting for his second Tiglacha, there's still 30 days left. So the Mishnah is not contradicting Rav Chisda. The Mishnah is not distinguishing explicitly between the Nezirus Meruba and the Nezirus Mu'etis, but the vote would be, it's not really a difference between Mu'etis and Meruba, it's a difference, are there 30 days left from the day that he became a Mitzvah until, in other words, do you have enough time for the days of a Tzaraf and the days of a Sfirah and still have 30 days left after the second haircut? Yeah. If you do, then Rav Chisda is saying you don't have to lose anything. No, he wants to cut.
Why wouldn't they count the days until you get this first haircut? Why don't you count that as...
Because that's what we're saying. The days, we're going to learn later on where the, the days of Chalutah, actually, yeah, we're going to be learning a Braisa later on that discusses how we derive from the Psukim and from logic that you make Chalutah don't count towards his, yeah.
But in reality, you're doing everything that you're
not. Right. But nevertheless, so the Rambam actually puts it in terms of that his Nezirus is sort of suspended during that time. He has the Isurim of the Nazir, but he doesn't have the Kedusha of the Nazir during that time. But yeah. Tosis points out, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Nezirus of 50 days either. The Gemara is just using that as an example. I mean, you could say the same thing if it was a Nezirus of 40 days and he became a Nezirus of 10 days into it. Same idea, basically. As long as there's enough time for the length of the Tzaraas and the 7 days between the haircuts and 30 days afterwards, then that's what Rav Chisda is saying, you won't have to lose anything. And the Mishnah is not contradicting him on that. Which Tosfos also points out, by the way, you could have a scenario where some of the days will count and some of them will not. Because you could have, for example, Tosfos gives an example, suppose somebody was supposed to be a Nazir for 53 days, he became a Mitzvah on day 20, so then you have, let's say, he lasts as a Mitzvah for 14 days, so then 3 of those days will be able to count, because then he's on day 23. At that point, we freeze him at day 23, because from 23 to 53 there's 30 days. So 3 of the days of his chalutah will have been able to count, and then the rest of them, the remaining 11 days, right, and as well as the 7 days of counting afterwards, won't be able to count. Yeah. Okay. So that's the vote then. Megaleach Tzaraas v'Hodo Yosef, Tzlof and Yemid Nazir. So he'll shave for his Tzaraas, and then he can sit for 30 days as a Nazir. Jehoi Yisrael Gidul Seir, because at that point you have enough hair growth. Masiv Rami Bachama. So now Rami Bachama asks another contradiction to Rav Chisda. The Mishnah says later on, in the next parak, we're going to learn a scenario. Nazir shall have tummy b'safik u'muchlut b'safik. If you have somebody who, a Nazir, who it was a safik whether he was tum, whether he became tummy mess, and it's also a safik whether he became a mitzvah. So what's a case where he's safik tummy, that's easy enough to understand. There's all kinds of cases where it's a safik tummy b'safik tummy b'safik.
So there's a period where you're current, you wait for the kind.
There is a few period of that quarantine at the beginning, fine, but we're not talking about it. When we say safik mitzvah, we don't mean that. Actually, so Tosfos says yes. Maybe it can be a suffix whether he's a mitzvah muchlot or not, whether he's been declared a definitive mitzvah or not. The Rosh, on the other hand, has a bit of a problem with it, because on the face of it, where do you really have a case where somebody is a suffix nazir? Suffix mitzvah. You either are or you aren't. Okay, but there are various sfeikas, but usually. Most of them we say that if the suffix is tar, there's a couple of examples where we say the suffix is tummy. The Rosh is saying there doesn't really seem to be any gray area. Okay, they talk about that maybe, for example, to go back to Tosfos' idea of suffix, whether he's a mitzvah or muchot or not, let's say, for example, we're not sure whether a kohen declared him a mitzvah or not. Yeah, okay, whatever it is. Now, so the complication comes in as follows. Later on, in the next parak, during this week, we'll learn about it at some length. But the issue is basically like this. If the guy was a Vadei Metzorda, no problem. At the end of his Tzaraas, he does the first shaving and the second shaving, because we already learned from various Sukkim, from Rosh, from Skanei or whatever, that the shaving of a Metzorda overrides the usual dinim that a Nazir is not allowed to shave. So it wouldn't be a problem. Similarly, if he was Tomei Vadai, it also wouldn't be such a problem, because a Mitzvah with Tomei Vadai, we know, once he's Tahor, after he's finished being sprinkled with Parat or Mawara, on the seventh day, he shaves and brings his Korbanos Tumah and starts his Nizirus over again. The problem is here that both the Tzaraas and the Tumas Mes will be Sofit. So now you have a problem, for example. How is he supposed to, for example, shave as a Mitzvah, when maybe he's not a Mitzvah after all, and he can't be shaving in the middle of his Nizirus? So what actually has to happen, and again, we'll learn the detailed scenario later on in the next parak, but what has to happen basically is you have to wait. Suppose, let's say, we're talking about a typical case where a person is a nazir for 30 days. What will actually have to happen is he'll have to wait until the end of 30 days to do the first hair cutting for his tzaraas. Because then, however you look at it, if he was tameh, then fine, he's able to do the tiglachas tumah at that point. If he was not Tomei, then fine, he can do the Tiglachas Tara. And either way, you can do it, Tiglachas of a Mitzvah. The problem then becomes that, there's two other issues involved then. First of all, then, it means that his second shaving as a Mitzvah is also going to have to wait another month for the same reason, even though usually they'd only be a week apart, he was going to have to be a month apart because of that. And second of all, there's also a rule that you can't use one haircut to serve to do double duty. You can't be taking a haircut that it should serve as the tiglachas of a mitzvah as well as tiglachas of a nazir, tumah or tara, as the case may be. So what winds up happening is this person winds up having to take four haircuts.
Two for each,
basically. He takes the first haircut. He takes the first haircut and brings the karbonus and brings the karbonus of a mitzvah, a misafik. He can bring the bird carbon. He can bring the bird carbon. He can bring the suffix. He can bring bird carbonus misafik. The carbonus of a nazir also. He can bring misafik. Not you can't bring the misafik, but an ola and a shlomim. At least you can bring misafik. Not really misafik, but you can bring them as olas nadava. A chatas you can't, but fine. The chatas not the chatas. The ashim actually, because we're talking about a nazir tummy. Fine, but the ashim is not active. The ashim doesn't prevent him from starting his nazirus over again. So we'll do that. Then he'll start over his nazirus, just in case he was tummy mess. Then at the end of the 30 days, he'll take a second haircut. Now all this time, maybe he's been a mitzvah, and then those first 60 days, the chlal don't count towards his nazirus, which is what our Mishnah is saying, that the days of when he's muchlat and the days of the counting don't count. So now, after that, after the 60 days, now he starts and does another 30 days just in case he was another, in case he was another tummy, and another 60 days in case he was another tahor, basically. And again, we'll learn the details in the next set. But it comes out that he winds up doing four haircuts and four sets of korbanos. That's what we said. So Tosfos just says it's a suffix whether he's in the third or muchlet or not. Tosfos doesn't elaborate how there could be such a suffix.
The coin says yes, no.
Right, on the face of it. But maybe afterwards, for example, let's say, I don't know, you could have a scenario, let's say, where the coin said something to him and afterwards he forgot what the coin said. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, the Rosh has a bit of a problem with it, of finding where there could actually be a case of suffix. Okay. Yeah. Whatever it is, there can be, somehow there can be such a case. So, the Mishnah says, Nazir Shaya Tomei B'Safik or Mukhlet B'Safik. So if he was Safik, whether he was Tomei Met, and Safik, whether he was a Metzorah Mukhlet. So he goes through these four rounds of 30 days each. And Ochel B'Kodshim Lacha Shishim Yom, after 60 days, after 60 days, for sure he's covered with his Tzaras. Because even if he was a Metzorah, fine, the first 30 days gets him until he's able to shave for his first shaving as a Metzorah. Again, he couldn't do it before 30 days, because what if he wasn't a Metzorah and he can't shave in the middle of his Nazirus? The second 30 days gets us to the second shaving of the Metzorah, after which on the next day he brings his Korbanos. Now he's no longer a Mechusar Kippurim. He's brought the Korbanos he needs to bring. Therefore, at that point, he's able to eat Kachim. Because, again, a Metzorah goes through stages in his Tara. There's a stage where he's maximum Tumah, he's kept outside the city, etc. You have the 7 days when he's a lesser degree of Tumah. Then you have after he's shaved and tovel the second time after the 7 days. At that point, until Hair of Shemesh, he's a Mechusar, he's a Tumah. After that, he's Mechusar Kippurim. At that point, he's able to come into the Bismithish, but he's still not able to eat Kachim yet. Only the next day, when he brings his Karbonis, will he be able to eat Kachim. So after 60 days, no matter what, He's definitely finished with his tzaras, therefore we can eat kachim. And the Mishnah continues that he's able to drink wine and become tamimet after 120 days, because once he's gone through all the four rounds of 30 days each, for sure he's finished with his nazirus, no matter how you slice it.
30 and 30 is...
The 30 and 30 is for possibly that he was a Metzorah. The other 30 and 30, yes. The other 30 and 30 is that possibly he was a Nazir Tame, and that possibly he was a Nazir Tame, and then he has to do another 30 days as a Nazir Tahar. As a Nazir Tame, he has to bring Korbanos and start over again at the beginning of the 30 days. Before we get to the Tani Allah, by the way, Tosfos has a long discussion over here about when you get down to it, we learned way back near the beginning of the Masechta that properly speaking, a Nazir should be doing 30 full days of Nazirus and shaving and bringing his Korbanos on the 31st day, which would come out, therefore, if you have two, it's going to be 61, if you have three, it's going to be 92 already. So where are we getting, especially by a Masechta, even more so, the Masechta can't bring the Korbanos until the next day after his shaving, and then he's Mechusar Kapara until then he can't eat Kachim. What are we saying the 60th day already? What are we saying after 60 days he can already eat Kachim, when on the face of it, it's after the 61st day? So that's the verse. The Tosfos says, because we had a machlokas there between the Masna and Barpada, why Bechlal does it have to be 30 complete days? Why Lachachila should be doing it on the 31st day? We had Barpada saying that Midaraisa really Nazirus is only 29 days, but because it's easy to confuse Stam Nazirus with when the person explicitly says 30 days, then therefore we make him keep 30 complete days. Or Ramasna said because it says Yiyah, which is exactly the Matthew of 30, and therefore you should have 30 complete days, but Ramasna says Nikta saying Kukoloi, and therefore B'dievet you can do it on the 30th day. So Tosfos says that's the verb. Because, after all, the whole thing is based on a series of sefekas over here, we're not going to be so machmer on him to make it that he has to wait till the 31st day or the 61st day or what have you. We'll be make on him and allow him to do according to the machmer because mitzvah saying the kuloi, or like barpada because midaraisa. Anyway, he could have chila done it the 30th day, and therefore that gains him an extra day or two as far as eating kachim and as far as finishing up with this whole mess that he got himself into. Yeah. And now, so far so good. That part is simple enough, four times 30 days. But now, we learn a braisa in connection with this. When is all this talking about, that all he needs is four times 30 days? If it was a Nazirus Muetis, if it was a standard size Nazirus of 30 days. Avol b'Nazirus bas shana, but let's say, for example, to begin with, he had declared Nazirus of a year. And let's say the scenario would be, let's say he became a Sofik Tome and Sofik Matzora on the day that he became a Nazir. Then what you need is, instead of months in each of these times, you need a year in each of these times. Same idea, because, for example, the first time around, he can't shave his hair for his first shaving of a Sofik Matzora until a year has passed, because what if he was a Nazir, and he can't shave in the middle of his year-long Naziris because of a Sofik of Taras? So he has to wait a year for that. Then he has to wait a year for the second haircut, and so on and so forth. So he has to wait to eat kodshim for 2 years after he does the first two haircuts, because then he's definitely done with his saras. And he can drink wine with the time of the mess after 4 years. That's not even all. I mean, the Gemara talks about it, but actually I don't remember if the Gemara talks about it, but the Rambam talks about a scenario. What if the person had declared Nazirus for 10 years? It's forever, fine. But so what happens if he's a Nazir? Let me say, what would you do as far as saras? Right, so that I'm not sure. But maybe we'll talk about it there, and I don't know. But the Rambam gives a scenario: what if he declared Nazirus for 10 years? Then he's going to have to wait 40 years until his Nazirus is over, yeah? If he wants to be Matir Neder, that's a different matter. In all of these things, we're assuming, we're leaving out the possibility of Ataras Nedarim. I mean, yes, of course, there's a possible Ataras Nedarim, but, you know, we wouldn't be able to describe these scenarios if you could just say, fine, he's Matir Neder and nothing happens. If we want to describe the details of the scenario, we have to sort of ignore the possibility of Ataras
Nedarim.
Why not? He can be Olu Rego. Why not? Oh, if he's a Sufik Matzora, fine. But if he's a Sufik Matzora, he can't be Olu Rego anyway. Okay, but you're talking about in the case of, okay, fine, yeah. Now, going back to the Chista's idea that as long as it was Nazirus Merubah, as long as after the Tiglachas of the Mitzvah, there's 30 days left of his original Nazirus, and we're saying that then all the days of his Chaluta and all the days of his Sfira count, so what do we need 4 whole years? Tiskele v'sholoshonim v'sholoshim yayim. Yes, the first time around, of course, you need a year, because what if he was a Mitzvah and he can't cut his hair during that year? The second time around, same thing. But the third time around, why should he need a whole year? Just in case, during those first 2 years he was a Mitzvah and those 2 years don't count, according to the Chista, everything but 30 days should count. So all he needs is 30 days the third time around. And then fine, the fourth time he needs a whole year, because what if he was a Nazir Tomei and he has to start all over again? But it comes out only a year, 30 days, and a year.
The last
year he'll need, because again, what if he was a Sofik Tomei, what if he was Tomei Mess? If he was Tomei Mess, he's going to, the third time around, he's bringing his Kavanas, as just in case he was a Nazir Tomei, and then he has to start his Nazirus all over again. Since the original Nazirus was a year, then he has to do a year.
So the first year is a year.
The second year is also a year. The second year conceivably is the time between the first and second haircuts of the Mitzvah. But again, maybe he was a Mitzvah, and usually he would take those two haircuts a week apart, but again, this time he can't, because what if he really was, what if he wasn't a Mitzvah, and if he wasn't a Mitzvah, then he's a Nazir, and a Nazir can't cut his hair. So he has to wait a year for that. And then at that point, when he brings his Korbanos the second time around, he's bringing them as the possibility that he was a Mitzvah, as well as the possibility that he was a Nazir. So that he was a Nazir Tomei. But now what Rami Bahama is focusing on is the third time. The third time, he shouldn't have to wait a whole year. There's no haircuts to deal with over here. The only reason you need the third time is in order that at the end of it, he's going to do his Tiglachas Tumah. But he's going to do his Tiglachas in case he was a Nazir Tomei, but maybe not. Maybe he's a Nazir Tahar. Fine, just in case he's a Nazir Tahar, he needs 30 days. But according to the Chisti, he doesn't need more than that. Because the other 11 months during which time he may have been a Mitzvah, fine, even if he was a Bada Mitzvah, according to the Chista, they should count. So that's the question. But Oid Masiv Ravashi. Furthermore, Ravashi says, I have another contradiction to the Chista from a Braisa. And this Braisa is going to go on for some length. It's a long Braisa from Sifri on Parshas Nasai. This is generally what the Sifri does. The Mishnah just gives us kind of the bottom line halacha. The Sifri, the Sifra on Vayikra, the Sifri on Bamidbar and Dvarim, Mechilta and Shmos. All of them, what they do is they go through blow by blow, explaining how exactly do we derive this particular halacha from the pasuk. How do we derive it from the words of the pasuk? How do we derive it from Kavach Chomer and Zera Shavas and whatnot? We've had such braises in Ar Masechta before, and we've had them in many places in Shas. It'll go blow by blow through it, and finally we'll get down to, okay, based on everything that we derive, here is the bottom line halacha. And then the Mishnah will just have the bottom line halacha for us without all the derivation. So, the braise goes as follows. Ein li eli yimei tumah shein olim le min haminyan. We know from the pasuk that the days that a nozir with tumah mess don't count for him, because the pasuk says ayomim arishonim yiplu. The original days fall away because he was tumah. We would only know from that days of tumah mess. Yimei chalute minayin. How do we know? This is what you were asking before, Eli. How do we know that also the days when he was definitively a mitzvah, when he was declared a mitzvah, how do we know that those also don't count? We can say like this: v'dinhu. We can derive it logically. You make tumah megaleach umevi korban. If a nazir becomes tameh, he has to shave his hair and bring korbanos at the end, as it says in Parashat Nasi. We make chalutim megaleach umevi korban. If he became a mitzvah, you also have to shave and bring korbanos, as it describes in Parashat Mitzvah. So we'll make a mamatzina between them. We'll binyan out from one to the other. Ma you make tumah se en on lo min aminyan. So just like the days of tumas mes don't count, after me chalutay en lo min aminyan. Good. So the days of chalutay don't count either. Braisa continues, loy, not necessarily. There's a difference. Imamar to be made to Moshe, Shekin Mevato, Behanath HaKoidman. You could say that applies to days of Tumah because you lose all your previous days. How could you say the same thing applies to days of Tzoras? You don't lose your previous days. All it is we said in the Mishnah, that you're frozen at the day that you became a Mitzorah. But you don't have to start all over from the beginning. Now, how Taka do we know that? Maybe Taka we should say we learned that from Tumas Mes. We learned already previously. We learned a couple of weeks ago we had a mission over there that mentioned that the three things that a Mitzvah is also in, shaving, haircuts, and then shaving wine and Tumah, and that each one of them has a Chumra over the other one. We learned over there from the Lashon HaPasuk, Yom HaRishonim Yiplu Ki Tamei Nizrei, that only if he becomes Tamei Mes does he lose all his days from before. Not if he drinks wine, not if he cuts his hair, and therefore not also if he becomes Tamei Tzaraas. So the Tumah of Tzaraas has that kula over Tumas Mes in that he doesn't have to start all over again. So maybe not. Maybe you could say if he doesn't have to start all over, maybe he doesn't get frozen either. Maybe they do count. Yes, it's all over, yeah. I'm not according to Rabbi, there was a difference whether it was the Tzaraas Malois or Acha Malois. So let's not get into that right now, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. The Braisa continues. Amarta Kava Chaimahu. Fine. We can make a Kavah Chomer on a different basis. Uman Nozir B'Kever, consider the case of a person who became a Nozir while he was in a Beis HaKvaris, in a cemetery, which we learned about earlier in the Masechta. Shesaire Roy L'Tiglachas, now his hair is suitable to be cut for Nazirus. Namely, in other words, we learned there that when he leaves the cemetery, we said over there that actually the days that he's in the cemetery don't count towards the Nazirus, but when he comes out of there, he's not going to have to shave and bring Korbanos Tumah. So we said that only applies if he was Tahor at the beginning and then became Tomei, not if he declared the Nazirus to begin with while he was in the Basic Varus. So therefore, his hair is royal to Glachas. The hair that he's wearing on his hair now is suitable to be cut for the haircut of a Nazir, for Tiglachas Tara, because he wanted to cut it beforehand. And yet those days that he's in the cemetery don't count towards his Nazirus, so he'll have to start at 30 or whatever it is days only when he leaves there. You may chalut shein sire roi l'tiglachas. Well then, the days when he's declared to be a mitzvah, where his hair is not suitable for tiglachas, because what's going to have to happen to his hair? It's going to have to be shaved off for tzaraas, and as we just said before, the same haircut can't do double duty for tzaraas and for Nazirus, so he's going to have to then later on recut it, regrow it, and recut it for Nazirus.
So how long?
That's what we said before, 30 days. So how much more so then that we should say on that basis? Fine, we can't learn it from Mama Finu from Tumas Nes, because we said that after all, Tumas Nes has a certain Chumra over Tumas Tzaraas. This one you lose your days from beforehand, and this one you don't. But fine, instead we can do it by Kavah Chomer from a different case of Tumas Nes, the case where the person was Tumas Nes when he became a Nazir. Okay, So far, so good. So the Braisa says, so the Braisa is saying, the Sifri is saying, so fine. So now this is how we know that the days of his Chaluta, the days when he's a Metzora, don't count towards his Nazir. Okay, so now, so far, we only know the days of his Chaluta, the days that he's a Metzora. Definitely a Metzora. You may suffer him in nine. What about the 7 days of counting in between? And the answer is, again, Vidinu. We can figure it out logically. Because, again, we'll make a mamatzinu, just like the days of his chalut require him to shave at the end of them.
Only if he was
no, that's what we're talking about. That's what we mean. Yimei chalutai, any mitzvah, when he's finished with yimei chalutai, and the kohen comes and does the two birds and the water and the ezer and whatever, at that point the nazir shaves and toivels. So that's where the Yemei Chalutah, you need shaving at the end. Af Yemei Sofer, the same thing, the 7 days that he counts also. Then he takes a second haircut at the end of that. So the Chorah, they're the same thing. Therefore, Ma Yemei Chalutah in Olam HaMinyan. So just like the days of Chalutah don't count, as we just derived by a Kal Chomer from the case of the Nazir B'Kever, Af Yemei Sofer. So the same thing, the days of the counting also don't.
So you shave here.
You shave here, it's a Mamotzinu. Yeah. Yocho after Mehesgeri, okay, fine. So now then on that basis, shouldn't you argue that the same thing applies, by the way, the Rosh asks the question, why does the Braisa anyway need to use a Mamatzinu for the purpose? They could use the same Kavachomer. But again, the same thing applies. The hair that grows during the May Sofer, again, is not going to be able to be shaved for Nazirus, because it has to be shaved for Tzaraas. So the Chorah, the same thing should apply. Why do we have to go back? Why do we have to go and compare it to? Yochel after Mehesgeri. Okay. Now the Braisa continues. You would think then the same thing should apply also to the days when he's quarantined. The first set of days during which the Tzaraas spot appeared, but you don't have the clear simonei tumah yet. We don't know. It's the Gzeiras HaKosuv that. As long as what happens, I mean, let's go through it in brief. When a person appears in front of a kohen with a spot of tzaraas on his skin, the kohen checks it out. If it's the right size, color, etc., but there's no white hair in it and there's no healthy-looking flesh in the middle of it, then the kohen locks him up for 7 days, checks it at the end of 7 days. If any of those things have developed in it or if it grew, then he's a mitzvah muflat. If not, the kohen locks him up for another week. If at the end of the second week there's still no white hair and no mischia and it hasn't grown, then that's it. He goes home, he's home free. Even though the spot is still there, by the way.
And he's not a mitzvah?
He never became a mitzvah muchlat then. He was considered, he's called a mitzvah muschia during those weeks or 2 weeks. It's called a quarantine mitzvah.
So my question is now, can you back up the question mark to say, well, since he wasn't,
that's exactly what the Braisa is asking over here. How do we know? L'chura, now that we've proved that Yemei Chalutah, all the time that he's definitely a Metzora and outside the city, and that Yemei Sofer, the 7 days at the end, that we said they don't count, how do we know the same thing is not true of the Yemei Hesker? And our Mishnah had told us that. But we need to know how so. So, let's figure it like this. The Adin Noisin, and in fact, it should be a logical inference. Cholut Matama Mishkav Moshev, a definite Mitzvah makes any seat or anything that he sits on or anything that he lies on become Tomei, just like a Zav in that sense. The Imeis Gerim Matama Mishkav Moshev, and also during the days of quarantine, the same thing. The Mishnah in Megillah mentions that the only difference between a Mitzvah Muskir and a Mitzvah Muchlot is the Muchlot is going to, as far as what happens during the time when they're muskur and mukhlat respectively, the only difference is the mukhlat has to tear his clothes and let his hair grow long, and the muskur does not during those week or 2 weeks of quarantine while the question mark is hanging over his head.
Muskur
means when he's quarantined, when we don't know, when the kohen
is
closed off in a room, but not outside the city. Mukhlat is when he's outside the city. And then the Mishnah continues over there that as far as when they become Tahar, the difference is that the Musker, all he has to do is Tovel himself and his clothes, whereas the Muchot has to go through the whole rigmarole over there in Parshas Atzeret, the two birds, and then the week waiting, the shaving, the week waiting, the other shaving, and the Kovanas. But as far as Mishkav and Moshav, a Musker and a Muchot are the same thing. Both of them, anything that they sit on and anything that they lie on, become a summit.
Even though he wasn't with the Shori.
Right. So therefore, in Lamati, Limecha Lutashen El Leminaminian. Well, then, if we learned out that the days of Chalutah don't count, Akimeheskir and El Leminaminian, so the days of Hesker shouldn't count either. They're both a very severe degree of Tumah, yeah? Amar Jaloi. So, no, you would answer that no, it's not so. Because in Amarji, we make Chalutah, Shishen Chalutah, Torn to Glachas, or maybe carbon. No, but Chalutah has a much greater Chubrah. You have to shave twice at the end of it, and you have to bring a carbon. Therefore, it's logical to say that those days don't count. Torn to Glachas, Shishen Torn to Glachas, and maybe carbon. How can you compare that to the Hesker? Yes, it's a very severe degree of Torah, but at the end of it, it just all he needs to do is Torvol and himself and his clothes. He doesn't need to shave. He doesn't bring a carbon or anything. Therefore, it's logical to say that they should count. No, that's right. Mikan Amru, based on this, the Chachamim said, Din of our Mishnah, you may suffer if you may gomre in Erun Lemin Aminian, that the days of his counting and the days of his definitive Saras do not count towards his Nazirus. I'll be Me'azav Azava, but days when he was a Zav or a Zava or she was a Zava, Veskerish of Matzorah, as well as the days of Hesker of Matzorah, Harel Erun, like all those things do count. And by the way, Rashi points out the difference is now a zav does bring karbonis at the end of those zivus, but the difference is a zav does not involve shaving. Therefore, there's less of a connection sort of between that and saras. And furthermore, the only thing a nazir has to the only thing that affects a nazir really is tumas mes. And okay, the tzara is kosher to mes in a way, but the zav is like no relation to mes at all really. Yeah. Okay. Thus far, the Braisa. Katani Mias, so now going back to the discussion in the Braisa, Katani Mias, we've learned in the Braisa, Loi Imamar to be made Toma Shekin Mavata Benet Akkadmin, that you we're trying to figure out that early in the Braisa, when we were trying to discuss whether you make Chaluta count or not towards the Zerus, we said that on the face of it, they seem to be the same thing. At the end of both of them, you have to shave and bring Korbanos. But we said, no, Tumah has a Chumrah. Lo Yom Amarti B'mei Tumah, that no, it's different. You say in the case of Yom Tumah, Tumas Mes, Shekin Mabatha Benet Akkadmin, because then you lose all your previous days. How can you compare that to Yom Chaluta? So now let's consider, what case would the Braisa be talking about? Ilema ben Nezirus Mu'etes, are you talking about a short Nezirus of 30 days? Of course he loses days. Habayinim Gidol Seir. Again, like we said before, you need 30 days to grow hair. So yes, in that case, Hikaka does lose days. El Allah ben Nezirus Meruba. Obviously, we must be talking about a long Nezirus, where there's more than 30 days left until the end of the Nezirus, enough time for hair to grow. And yet, the Braisa clearly said that those don't count. Not like Rav Chisda is saying that they do count as long as there's 30 days after them. Almoloi Falconlei, which proves that they don't count for him. Shemamina, that proves it. So Rav Chisda has been disproved, and the halacha is in fact that the Yumei Hesker, and not the Yumei Hesker, the Yumei Hechlet and the Yumei Sfira don't count. He gets frozen in time on the day that he was declared a Metzora, the day that he gets sent out of the city, and from then until he finishes with the second haircut, those days do not count towards his Nazirus, regardless whether there's 30 days left after them or not.
What about the day? Just put away that he comes out clean.
So that's what we're saying. Those days do count. Those days do count, because at the end of them, there's no haircutting.
You reject Rav Chisda wholesale, but...
Wholesale, I mean, still, you know...
In both cases, you could say he's right in one case and wrong in the other case.
He himself was saying that in the case of Nezirus Mu'etes, of course he loses days.
Right.
Necessarily, because he needs 30 days hair growth. He was just saying in the case of Nezirus Meruba, you shouldn't lose days if there's more than 30 days left. Based on the price that we see that you do lose days. Not lose days, but whatever, you get frozen in time regardless. Mishnah says, "Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua." And actually, this shouldn't really be Rabbi Eliezer. This should really be Rabbi Lozer, because Rabbi Eliezer is a chaver of Rabbi Yeshua. He wouldn't usually be saying anything in the name of his chaver, Rabbi Yeshua. He'd be saying things in the name of the Rebbe. And in fact, we're going to learn in the Gemara that actually what he's saying over here in the name of Rabbi Yeshua actually goes back to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is not going to be saying something in the name of Rabbi Meir. So it has to be Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer ben Shamua was a chaver of Rabbi Meir. So he says in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, the general rule, kol tumah min ames shanozim galeach aleha, any tumas mess that a nozer would have to shave for, the ones that we listed in the Mishnah back on Memtesim and Beis, chayavan aleha b'yasmik. There's also you chayav, if you become tumay with any of those, you become chayav misa for going into the Mishnah. B'chol tumah min ames shanozim galeach aleha, any tumah from a mess that a nozer does not have to shave for, ain chayavan aleha b'yasmik. If you become tummy with one of those things, and then you go into the mishmikdash, you're not chayiv misabidishimayim, rather. Which again, you know, we talked about that some of them are d'rabbanan, and that would be the reason. Even if we say that some of them are d'oraisa, but they're learned out with the yud gimel midrash, shatran and d'rashas fam, so therefore they're like weaker than the, he's saying. Therefore they're sort of weaker than the ones that are more explicit in the Torah. Maybe then. But you wouldn't get Malchus. Malchus Midaraita would only be for something that's also Midaraita. Rav Meir says no. Loite Zukalam and Asheret. Fine, you're gonna argue that a nozer doesn't have to be Megaleach for these things. There's still no less a tumor than, for example, a person who becomes tummy from a sheret. Where a person becomes tummy from a sheret and then goes into the Bismith, she's Chayiv Koris. He's chayv koris b'mezid and a korban oil of yod if it was b'shogig. Not koris, mitzvah d'shamayim actually, but whatever. The point is, fine, you're going to argue these things are a lesser degree of tumah because the nozer doesn't have to shave for them. Fine, but they're still no less than the tumah of a sheretz, for example. So the fact that ain a nozer megalech alem doesn't make them like they're not a tumah at all. You should still argue that a person who is tummy with them, who goes into the Mishmet, is going to be chayiv. That's what we're going to talk about. No, yeah. Well, actually, the Gemara is not really going to expand on the argument itself.
You get a good point.
Okay, but we could argue back. You know, we could argue back that still there is a difference. Okay, too much sheretz. The Torah explicitly says too much sheretz. The person is talking. You know, the Torah doesn't explicitly say these things. Or you know, so.
What does it mean? Oil of
yod
up and down.
Oil means the value of it goes up and down depending where you can afford. It means if he's rich, yeah, we've talked about it before. If he's rich, he brings an animal as a chatas. If he's poor, he brings two birds, one as an oil and one as a chatas. And if he's even poorer than that, dalei dalos, he brings a korban mincha. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar, whatever, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, come Allah. You're telling me that Rabbi Lazar learned this din from Rabbi Yeshua? Now, Rabbi Yeshua, unspecified throughout Shas, means Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. He's one of the Talmudim of Rabbi Yeshua ben Zakeh in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya Ashri Yelatu. When we say Rabbi Yeshua, without specifying throughout Shas, that means him. So you're telling me then, the Mishnah is telling us, that Rabbi Lazar learned this din from Rabbi Yeshua. But why? Well, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua Bar Mamo, Gamal Lo. He actually learned it from Rabbi Yeshua Bar Mamo, who is not Stam Rabbi Yeshua. So the Mishnah shouldn't have said Mishum Rabbi Yeshua. It should have said Mishum Rabbi Yeshua Bar Mamo. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, Amar Rabbi Yezer, again Rabbi Lazer, Kshalachti La Ardiskia, when I went to Ardiskia, the name of a place, in the Sansino Gemara, they mention either it might be Damascus or it might be some place in the north of Eretz Yisrael near the source of the Yarden River. Name of a place. Matsosius Rabbi Yeshua ben Peser Roish. I found Rabbi Yeshua ben Peser Roish. That was his father's name. They're an unusual name, but okay. So Yoshev had done the Fener at Meir Bahalacha. He was sitting and discussing the following halacha in front of Rabbi Meir, the halacha of our Mishnah. Kol tumah min ames shanozim galeach aleha. Any tumah mess that a nozir would have to shave for, chayav aleha mishum bias mikdash. Then you chayav for bias mikdash for it. Any tumas ames that a nazir does not shave for ain chayav another mishum bias mikdash, that you're also not chayav for going into the mikdash. Omaloi and Rav Elazar says, I also heard Rav Meir telling him, I'll take zukalim sheretz. You can't consider these things to be less than the tumas sheretz, which is exactly the argument Rav Meir makes in our Mishnah. Now continues the Braisa, Amarti loy. So I said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Peser Rosh, Klumat Baki Rabbi Yeshua bar Mamel. Are you familiar with Rabbi Yeshua bar Mamel? Amali Hain. He says to me, yes. Okay. So then Rabbi Elazar says, Kach Amali Rabbi Yeshua bar Mamel Meshum Rabbi Yeshua. So you should know Rabbi Yeshua bar Mamel told me in the name of Rabbi Yeshua exactly what Rabbi Yeshua ben Peser Rosh just told you. Kol Tumah Shemana Mes Shanoz Magalei Chalei Achayav Meshum Leim Meshum Bias Mikdash. V'Kol Tumah Shemana Mes Shanoz Magalei Chalei Achayav Meshum Bias Mikdash. Havi, so we see from that, Mishum Yerushua B'Mamo Gomor Law. So we see Rav Elazar learned it from Yerushua B'Mamo, but that's what he's quoting to, that Rav Yeshua B'Mamo had learned it from Rav Yeshua. So why is our Mishnah saying that he learned it directly from Rav Yeshua when there's somebody in between? Amru, so the Chachamim said, based on that, Shema Mino, we can derive from this, Kol Shmaitza de Misamer de Veit Lasa, any teaching in Halacha which was said, you have a three generation chain that can be said in the name of. The third person heard it from the second person heard it back here. Rabbi Lazar heard it from Yeshua Bamamo, who heard it from Rabbi Yeshua. Red Hanania. So in any case like that, Kadmoyu Vasroyamrinan, we mention the first and last links in the chain. Mitsiyari Lamrinan, we don't mention the middle link in the chain. So over here, we mention Rabbi Elazar because he's the one who reported it to the rest of the Chachamim. We mention Rabbi Yeshua because it originated from him, and it goes back before him. Obviously, he learned it from Rebbein, but that's as far back as the chain as the chain in the report goes, that Rabbi Yeshua Mamel had heard it from Rabbi Yeshua. We don't have to mention the middle link. We don't have to mention Rabbi Yeshua Mamel.
You have to say something.
That's why by mentioning the last person, we're doing that. We're mentioning B'Shem Aymer. We don't need to mention every link in the chain. Well, okay, so that doesn't mean that we can't. I mean, the Gemara almost sounds like we can't. I mean, we can't, so we can. I mean, sometimes the Gemara will have a chain of five or six of Amoraim who report something, but you don't have to. It's okay to just mention the first and last one and leave out the one in the middle. Yes, indeed, we have a Mishnah that expresses that same idea. A Mishnah in Masechta Peah says, Omer Nochem Alavler, Nochem Alavler says, Kach Mekublani Mirab Miyasha. The scenario over there is like this. So actually, the scenario that the Gemara is going to that we have in our Gersoris of the Gemara over here, Tosfos and the Rosh say is not actually the one that there is a different Mishnah in Peah that talks about such a scenario, but that's not the one we're talking about. The Mishnah in Peah tells us like this. If a person, we know when a person grows a field, a person grows produce in their field, they have to separate peyah from it. They have to separate minatoda. There's no shiur eladvarim sheinam shiur peyah v'abikurim minirabbanan. It's supposed to be 1/60th, and you leave it for the poor. What happens now? Suppose you planted two different species. You planted wheat and you planted barley. You have to set aside peyah separately from each one. You have to leave peyah over from the wheat and leave over peyah from the barley, even if later on, you decided, you know what, I'm not going to bother separating them, I'm just going to bring them all into my barn and thresh them together and just sell it as a mix. Doesn't matter, they're two different species, each one needs its own pair. Conversely, what happens is a person plants one field of wheat, let's say, but he decides, for whatever reason, I'm going to break it up. I'm going to thresh some of it now, and I'll thresh some of it next week. Nevertheless, you only need one pair for the whole thing. Now what happens, in the middle case, what if somebody plants two different varieties of wheat, let's say, or two different varieties of barley? They have, even nowadays, you have summer wheat and winter wheat. There's different types of wheat out there, for example. Yeah. So how many payas do you do then? So the Mishnah says over there, then it depends on whether you're planning to combine them together. If you're planning to just put them all in one barn and thresh them all together and then treat them as one unit, then you only give one payer from the whole thing. If you're planning to treat them as separate things, do them each separately, then you need two payers. So the Mishnah describes over there that one time one of the Tanoim, Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, planted like that in front of Rav Gamliel, and they started asking a question, you know, what's the fact of the din as far as payer? I have these two varieties of wheat. What do I do as far as payer? One or two? Rav Gamliel. You leave over the corner, the edge of the field, the corner, the edge, whatever, of the field for the poor people to take, yeah. So the sort of Shimon Ish HaMitzvah planted in his field like that, two varieties of wheat or whatever. He came and asked Rav Gamliel what the halacha is. Rav Gamliel didn't know. So they went up the chain of command until they got to the Sanhedrin, the base in the Lishkas HaGozis. And the Mishnah says, Omer Nochem Alavler, Nochem Alavler said over there, Kach Mekublani Mirem Miyasha, I have a tradition from Mirem Miyasha, Shekibol Me Abba, who learned from Abba, either Abba is the name of a Tana, or Abba means my father, Rav Nochem Alavler's father. Shekibol Min HaZugos, who in turn learned from the Zugos, the five Zugos that I mentioned in Pirkei Avos over there, Yosef Ben Yezan, Yosef Ben Yefanan, Yerushalayim Ben Tzachi, and Nita HaBeli, the rest of them down to Hillel B'Shamay. Shekiblu min ha-Nevi'im, who in turn received this tradition from the Nevi'im, halacha l'Moshe mi-Sinai. So now, I'm going to read actually the girsa that Tosfos has over here, because that's actually the continuation of the Mishnah and Peah. What we have over here in our Gemara is actually from a different Mishnah and Peah, about a different din.
That's the accepted girsa, the one that's in the Gemara.
So the one in the Gemara, the printer has put it in. I mean, Tosfos and the Rosh both make a point of saying that that's not the correct girsa. Nevertheless, the printers didn't get around to changing it. The real halacha that Rabbi Yasha is saying I have this whole chain of tradition on is exactly that, a case like this. Vizereya seder shnei minichitin, somebody plants his field with two kinds of wheat. Asan gurn achas, if he makes them, asan gurn echad, if he puts them all in one barn, notice in peah achas, and he just gives one peah, beis gurnas, beis peah. If he puts them in two different barns or two different times or whatever, then he gives two payas. Exactly what the previous Mishnah had said as a halacha without specifying the source of it. Now Nochum Alavla gives us the whole chain of tradition. That it's not Stam, maybe some Talmud came up with it and we're not sure whether it's correct. No, it actually goes back all the way to halacha Mishnah.
So there has to be two different fields and two different beis gurnas.
No. What we're saying is the person planted two different types of wheat.
Right.
In one field, whatever, in two parts of the field, whatever. The point is that it could even be mixed, I don't know, whatever. The point is that you give that, depending what he plans to do with it, as far as what he plans to do with it, after he harvests it, is whether it's going to be one payer or two payers.
If he leaves them combined, it's one.
And if he's going to separate them, then it's going to be two, yeah.
Because the one bar to one.
Right, yeah.
Separated.
Yeah.
Then for them combining two bars, it's still going to be one pair. They have to be separated.
That's what we're saying. In other words, if you're separating them, then you're putting them in different barns, if you're whatever, not really barns. If you Gurdon really means a threshing floor. For example, it means that you take the wheat or the barley or what have you and you need to thresh it. You have to have animals step on it and then have a heavy sledge running over it in order to break open the shells and be able to get the kernels of wheat or barley or what have you out of it.
So that's before that process, right? Otherwise they miss.
That's the point. In other words, if you're, for example, you planted, let's say, Tosfos gives the example, you planted, let's say, a white wheat and brown wheat. So if you decided, you know what, fine, I did plant two separate varieties, but I'm just going to mix them all, I'm going to thresh them all together, I'm going to mix them all together and just grind them up together and then sell them as one thing, or keep them, whatever, then it's one payer. If you decide, I'm going to use them separately, I'm going to use the white wheat for this and the brown wheat for that, and therefore I'm going to make sure to keep them separate, thresh them separate, put them separate, store them separately in my granary, etc., then two payers. Yeah, the it's one stage of it. Is you have to break open the shells of the wheat or the barley of the grain in order for the actual grain to come out of it. Yeah. So that's in the malachas of Shabbos, right? You have the malacha of dosh. It's just that, it's threshing. After that, you have zora. You take at that point, you have on the floor, you have a mixture of kernels of wheat and shells. Straw. So you take it, you put it on sort of a pitchfork or something, you throw it up in the air, the lighter stuff, the shells and whatnot, blows away, and the heavier stuff, the grain, settle down to the ground. And then that burr is the next thing. Burr is actually, then you start picking it, that's called zorda, what I just described. Next you have burr, which is now that you have the heavier stuff, but the heavier stuff is not all wheat. There could be bits of dirt and stone and then rocks in it, then you separate those out, that's burr. That's the medrash says the medrash that says that it's a Gemara in Brachas, come to think of it. I think it was Ben Azai said, consider how much of a hassle other medrashim had to go through before you had a loaf of bread to eat, all those malachas that he describes over there. Whereas I wake up in the morning and there's fresh bread available for me. Yeah. Well, but unless you yourself were a farmer, you didn't have to deal with it. But yeah. Okay. Anyway, the point is. So our Gemara mentions a different case, that a person plants sheves, is a type of spice, anise it's called in English, v'chardol, or mustard, in two or three different places in his field, they have to get pay for each one, whatever it is, the point is, the Gemara is getting at, like a hashim. Now, the last thing over there, we mentioned that the Zugis learned it from the Nevi'im, who in turn got halacha l'mesh m'sinai, but between the Nevi'im and halacha l'mesh m'sinai, you have Yeshua, you have Kalev, and it's not counting them. Shemamina, that proves it, that you don't have to mention every single link in the chain. That's the whole point of bringing this whole thing, is to demonstrate that you don't have to mention every single link.
Why are you called Zugis for?
Because each of them was a pair. You had one of them with a Nasi and the other one was Avestin. The Vartis before that, but the Vartis before that, for example, you had Shimon HaTzadik was all by himself the leader of the Jewish people. Antigonus Ishtesa was all by himself the leader of the Jewish people. After that, he was serving as both Nasi and Abbasin, right? After that, they had to split it up into two different jobs. And there are historians who claim that it had something to do with the fact that Josephus describes in his histories that early in the time of the Bais Sheni, the Kohen Gadol was sort of in charge of foreign policy of the Jewish people. In particular, he'd be the one to deal with the Goyish rulers as far as taxes.
The Nasi.
No, but before there was a Nasi, the Kohen Gadol. So, for example, Shimon HaTzadik would have had that role. Shimon HaTzadik actually was Kohen Gadol as well. After him, whoever was the next Kohen Gadol would have had the same role. The problem is, eventually, the Kohenim Golem were not such good ones. We learned way back in Yuma that the Kohenim Golem during the Second Mishmash were not such great people. So eventually, according to that, then the vote would be eventually the Chachamim realize they have to create a position of Nasi, where the Nasi will sort of fill the role as far as foreign policy, as far as representing the Jewish people to the Goyish power that the Kohen Gadol used to do. So the Kohen Gadol should be more he'll be more for internal matters, and the Nasi will be the one to represent the Jewish people to the Goyish rulers, and the Av Beis Din will be the acting, the day-to-day head of the Sanhedrin.
According to the Torah, aren't Kohanim prohibited from having secular functions such as Malchus?
Malchus is a different thing. These Kohanim Gdolim, early in the Second Bais Hamikdash, were not kings in any sense of the word, over the world. That doesn't make them kings. They were under they were being ruled over by the Goyish king, by the Ptolemies of Egypt and by the Seleucids of Syria. No, they weren't kings at all. Later on, when the Hashmonaim, when Eretz Yisrael became independent after the wars of the Hashmonaim, and eventually they took themselves the title of kings. There's a famous Ramban in Parashas Vayechi who says that was a terrible mistake on their part, and for that reason they were eventually wiped out.
But isn't there
that it was a mistake, the Ramban says, on the part of the Hashmonaim to take kingship for themselves? They're Kohanim. They're not supposed to. The kingship is supposed to be reserved for Beis David. And the Ramban says that's why they eventually ended up getting wiped out. They were destroyed. They all went extinct. Hurdus killed them all out.
All the
descendants of the Hashmonaim. But the Gemara says, we'll learn in a couple of months towards the end of Kedushin about an interesting story where the upshot of the story is that anybody nowadays, in the time of the Gemara also, who says I'm descended from the Hashmonaim is really descended from slaves, because it means he's descended from Hurdus, because Hurdus claimed to have married into the family of the Hashmonaim, and Hurdus is considered an Eved in Halacha. His descendants are also considered Avadim. But yeah. Having said that, though, it may not be so simple, because, for example, in Hilchus Chanukah, at the beginning of Hilchus Chanukah, when the Rambam gives the historical overview of how the Nes Chanukah came about, he mentions that the Hashmonaim beat the Greeks and rededicated the Mishmash, etc., and he says that he seems to be saying as a positive thing that kingship returned to the Jewish people for over 200 years.
The Rambam
seems to be saying, I mean, he doesn't say in so many words that he considers it, but that seems to be the implication of it. I'm saying that Ramban says that the Hashmonaim taking kingship was a very negative thing.
Right.
The Rambam seems to be saying that it was a positive thing. Okay. Yeah.
But still, I mean, conducting foreign policy, when you're going down all the union of Muslims here,
not really.
But you're ruled by kings and by emperors.
But that's, you know, practically speaking, there wasn't anybody else available. I mean, the truth is, there is actually, there's an interesting theory by Rav Aaron Hyman, wrote a couple of books on Jewish history. He has a Talmud Chacham who lived in England about 100 years ago. He has an interesting idea that during most of the time of the Second Bais Hamikdash, there were actually two people who had the title Kohen Gadol. There was one who was the one who actually did the avodah in the Bais Hamikdash, in particular on Yom Kippur, and then there was the one who had the title Kohen Gadol and handled foreign policy for the Jewish people and whatnot. So once in a while, you had, for example, Shimon HaTzadik. He filled both roles. But much more often, he says, it was usually that you'd have sort of the spiritual Kohen Gadol and the political Kohen Gadol, and they weren't necessarily the same person.
But they were both Kohanim.
They were Kohanim, obviously, right, yeah. There's only the books of Hashmonaim from the Sforim Chatzonim, the books that describe the background of the whole story of Hanukkah. They mention that during the years immediately before the Nes Chanukah, there was at one point Antiochus appointed a fellow by the name of Menelaus as Kohen Gadol, when this person wasn't a Kohen at all. He basically bought his way into the position without even being a Kohen. This is during the time of Antiochus when they're not allowing anybody to keep any mitzvahs anyway. So obviously they weren't going to be terribly concerned about the niceties of halacha. But ordinarily, yeah, even the corrupt kohenim gadolim were kohenim, and that's the famous thing Zebah talks about. They all died when they went into the kodesh hakodashim. So why were they spending huge sums and buying their way into the position? Because they thought they wanted to have that experience of going into the kodesh hakodashim, even if they knew it was going to cost them their lives. So, you know, they had a certain mila. They weren't stam, you know, low life sort of. But yeah.
Sorry.
That's what Ramban says. That the Ramban says that. That's it. So we'll learn a lot about him in Bava Basra in a couple of years, Bez Hashem, in a year and a half or so. But this Hordus. So let me see. I mean, what happened was among the Hashmonai kings you had the Hashmonaim originally were rulers. They called themselves just by the title Kohen Gadol. Only later on did they start taking themselves the title king, whatever. The original five brothers, but then most of them got killed in the wars, and so then afterwards the only survivor was Shimon, and then his descendants were the ones who ruled for the next few generations.
Because
they're also Kohenim, right? Yeah. Anyway.
So we're one page ahead now.
No, we're actually exactly where we need to be. We're up to the bottom of tomorrow's office is in Zion. Josephus describes that it was Yochanan and Kohen Gadol who at one point conquered the land of Edom, where by that time the land of Edom wasn't just the Edom as in like south of Eretz Yisrael. It actually included the southern parts of Eretz Yisrael itself, like the area of Hebron or whatever, because the Edomim had infiltrated there and settled over there. So he conquered that area and forced them to become Gerim. Looking at it from the point of view of halacha, probably what he did is, especially because the Gemara calls them avodim, what he did is he probably made them avodim knanim, and an avod knanim becomes a quasi-ger, as we learned in Yevamos. Yes, it's Tovel, yes, they accept some of the mitzvahs. Whatever the case, one of these adomim was a fellow named Antipater, and Hordus was his son. So therefore, Hordus, halacha, is considered an avod, but eventually Hordus, it was a long process, but first Antipater and then Hordus became very politically powerful. Under the later Hashmonai kings, and eventually Hordus got himself in power as king of Eretz Yisrael under the protection of the Romans, and then went and started working on wiping out all the Hashmonai. It was a long drawn out process, but yeah.
But that's what
they were. Yeah.
So
they were Edomim.
They were not
really
descendants of.
No, they weren't descendants of Edomim. They were Edomim. Yeah.
That's
we'll learn in a few weeks in Sota about a descendant of Hordus named Agrippas, who was king of Eretz Yisrael a few decades before the Korban. He was good, but the Gemara describes here, we'll learn about in Sota, that he was reading the Torah by Hakel, and he came, that's very appropriate for this year, and he came to the part where the Torah describes what a king has to be. You're not allowed to appoint a foreigner as a king over you. And he started crying, realizing that Itaka doesn't deserve to be king. He's not born from originally Jewish parents. His descendants are these Edomi quasi-Gerim.
A Ger cannot become king.
That's the point. So Agrippas realized that something's the matter over here, and he started crying. And the Mishnah continues over there. Everybody called out to him. They said, "Don't worry, Agrippas. Achinu Ata, you're our brother," which the Gemara says was a very wrong thing of them to do. Yes, they wanted to make him feel better, but they chanfered him. The Gemara says it's a serious thing to chanfer somebody when somebody is doing something wrong, to tell them it's okay, what you're doing is right. The Gemara says that was a very, very serious avera on their part.
What should they have done?
They should have told him, "You know what, Agrippas? You're taka right. You taka shouldn't be king. Lemay said, okay, the Romans appointed you. It's not like maybe you have much of a choice. It's not like and you know what, you're a lot better than a lot of the other louses we've had over there. So you know what, you may be the best we can get over here. But Taka, don't think that you really deserve to be king. You Taka, according to Apia Locha, really you shouldn't. Well, maybe whatever. Maybe they could have told him that, you know what, don't call yourself a king anymore. Whatever. They could have found an Asa, apparently. Tell the truth, basically. So that's the Gemara says that actually that brought the Korban closer. Yeah, the fact that they chanfered him, yeah. We'll learn about it in a few weeks' time in Sota. Depends which Agrippas we're talking about, actually. There were two Agrippases, father and son. The The first one ruled about 30 years before the Churban. The second one ruled up until about 4 or 5 years before the Churban. Now, the way Josephus describes it, the first one was really good, and the second one was really bad. So the likelihood that the one that they told them, Achinu Ata, is probably the first one. It's not likely they would have told the second one when they hated him so much, they would have told him, Achinu Ata, but you never know. You know? Yeah.